Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Offer today. Yep. Free callback coupons. We're going to do. You call today, the number on the program, and in the future, Andrew Krucek, my producer man, will give you a free callback. Andrew, would you flip that button there? There you go. You know which one it is. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Delighted to have you with me. Here's how the program works. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Let me make a little note here to Andrew. There we go. Got it. Okay. I'm a shrink. People say, "What? Where does that come from? Where does shrink come from?" Medicine men in Aboriginal tribes oftentimes shrunk heads. That's what they did. So, as part of their shamanistic practices, they had little heads that they shrunk. Well, it wasn't too long before somebody decided somewhere, somehow, and it caught on, to call a psychiatrist, typically it started with psychiatrists, as a head shrinker. Kind of a quasi-medicine man who did these things. Well, head shrinker is a long name. Got shortened to shrink. That's where it came from. Anyway, I don't shrink here. Do not. I shrivel every once in a while. At my age, I wrinkle. But what we can do as a psychologist is what I am in my professional life. We don't diagnose here. We don't do therapy. We educate. General principles, general ideas, thoughts, nuggets, something. In life, the continuum of existence, most of what we talk about is the consciousness here of life, from the time someone is aware till the time they're unaware. Leaving this earth, for most people, is the unaware aspect. Although, approximately a third of your time on earth, you are unaware. You're sleeping, unless you have children. Then it's about a sixth of your time that you're unaware. The rest of your time, you are acutely aware. All right. So, if you call 877-573-7825 with a question about yourself, someone else, kid, situation, circumstances, something specific or something general, something you've always wondered about in the realm of psychology, life, behavior, as it intersects, for example, with faith. 877-573-7825. All right, anonymous female, do not go away because that's a standard question now in today's topsy-turvy, upside-down, some would say insane way that our culture is looking at all kinds of things. Hey, guys. Now, ladies, if your husband is not listening, this will go on the archives at AveMariaRadio.net, and you can search it out. I've got a technique here, fellas, that can really affect your marriage. Yeah, can affect your relationship. If you want to do something like this, keep in mind that understandably your wife is going to react, and not well. I call it holding court. It's not unusual for a mom, and in particular a daughter, to get into it. Some kind of argument, some kind of dispute over privileges, whatever. In the course of child rearing, this stuff rears its head all the time. You're not there when it happens. You come around at some point, you're at home. Maybe there is frustration aimed at you by your wife, who wants to tell you how ugly it was or how disagreeable, disputatious your daughter or your son was with her. At which point, if the daughter or son is anywhere nearby, they're going to jump in. And they're going to give you their side of things. Sometimes the children do a preemptive strike. They're going to tell you their side of things before mom even has a chance. Now, here's what you do. I think this works wonderfully if you want to upset your wife. Hold court. That's right. Sit and listen to both sides as though they're equal. Find out your wife's perspective about what happened. And then, in full view, in full hearing of your wife, ask your daughter or your son what happened. And of course, the daughter or the son will tell you how wrong mom was, how unreasonable she was, how difficult she was, because what they wanted to do was quite reasonable, quite understandable. So what you do is you sit impassively as a judge and sort through it. Kind of decide who was more wrong. That's it. And give your wife feedback on how she should have handled it better. Because you know you can count on your daughter or your son to give you a very accurate depiction of what happened. Probably is every bit as accurate as your wife's. You start with the assumption. Both of them are going to be objective observers. Your wife will give you her motherly perspective on this ugly interchange, and then your daughter or your son will correct your wife in front of her, telling you how it really went down. And you sit thoughtfully and listen. And try to figure out, well, how best can we work this out? You know, there's two sides to every story. That's right. There's your wife of 21 years side, and then there's your 14-year-old adolescent's side. Of course, the message you're presenting is that both sides are equally valid. Both sides are equally trustworthy. Both sides equally represent reality. Guys, there's one overarching rule to consider. Your wife is mom. As a result, even if, in your opinion, she handled the situation poorly, even if she allowed herself to be pulled down to this adolescence level, she still is mom. And she can make the ruling. Her style may be bad, but she has the authority. So for you to question her style, to imply that perhaps she could have handled it a little bit more like your daughter would have wanted her to, is a bad move. Bad. You want to talk about it later, go ahead, if you dare. Make sure your daughter or son's not around, because once again, they'll put their 27 cents in. But you operate out of the philosophy to begin with that this is mom's ruling. This is what mom decided. Now, if mom got pulled into an argument, if mom got pulled into a tit-for-tat ugly exchange with the child, all right. That's a separate issue you can talk about later with your wife. But in the meantime, if you take the role of some kind of impartial judge that's going to sort out where the blame lies, who is more at fault in this interchange? And you could do one other thing that's really going to help your marriage. Turn to your wife in front of your daughter and correct your wife. Point out how she poorly handled it. Point out things like, well, did you say that to her? Well, what's the problem with her getting to go there? That's not a problem, is it? That's it, see? Because your daughter will smile and be happy because Dad is the reasonable one and Mom is the wicked witch of the East. It is the East. I used to think it was the West, but it is the East. Your little dog, too. Gentlemen, if you're going to hold court, you want to help your wife out in a style in handling these kids, do it later. Do it later with your wife, not with both the wife and the contestant in the argument, i.e., a.k.a., a child. It's not going to work. You lose both ways. One, you take a real good chance of breeding ill will in your spouse. Two, keep this in mind. For the moment, the child may see you as the more reasonable one, of course, because he or she doesn't have to deal with Mom, who's completely unreasonable. Okay, for the moment. But Lord help you down the road when you get into one of those interchanges. Because the temptation for your wife to hold court in retribution is going to be stronger. 877-573-7825. 877-57-equal is the number to call to get onto the program where I will hold court.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Catholic Christians attend Mass weekly. Is the source and summit of our lives together? What does that mean? Why do some Catholics find Mass boring? On the next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo answers the question, what happens at Mass? Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Gary to call me here on the Doctor's Inn. I'm Dr. Ray Garendi. I didn't mention my name at the first segment of the program. There's a reason for that. Right now I'm in a hot contest with Al Cresta, who stole the Humility Award from me last year. Yeah, that's right. I was runner-up. Runner-up. I couldn't believe it. Who would think that? So I'm in a hot contest, so I did not mention my name first segment. Cresta mentions his name. And don't think the judges aren't aware of this. I'm recording it.
Dr. Ray Garendi, 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get on to the air. I want to thank the folks, St. John Paul the Great, Catholic Radio in Tiffin, Ohio, for an enjoyable visit last night. Thank you so very much for having me out there, and myself and Dave Vacheres from EWTN Radio. We are the tag team duo, getting together and supporting and helping out the affiliates, some 300 plus of them now in the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Anonymous caller from New England, Grandma, who doesn't quite understand how is it that nowadays, especially among young people, if you disagree, if you have a moral perspective, that somehow you're biased, or you're bigoted, or you're hateful. How did this happen? Hi, Grandma.
Hi.
Thank you, dear.
I've got one of my grandsons. I just love him dearly. He's just finished up junior high, so he's still young. But I'm grateful that he does talk to me about religion. I think he's trying to figure things out because I was instrumental in him being baptized. You know, my daughter did have him baptized, but then he never did make his confession or anything like that, and they don't go to church.
Okay, so you're dealing with someone who is being socialized and moralized by the culture at large.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he happened to be up one day, right after that Supreme Court decision. And I just nonchalantly said, what do you think of that Supreme Court decision, Liam? And I guess I don't remember what I said, but I thought it, you know, said I thought it was terrible and everything. And I wasn't really prepared for him.
Look out.
He just exploded, and he was... I guess, you know, he was saying, I don't know if he actually said bigoted, but something like that is what he meant. And then I said, well, his dad doesn't live with him because my daughter's remarried. But I said, well, I don't think your father would care for that, would he? And he says, well, he just thinks it's stupid on both sides. And he said... stupid to even talk about it.
Okay, here's the problem you run into, and this is so very common when we attempt to talk about these moral issues, especially with someone who doesn't have the religious base that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming from a religious perspective. You believe there's a God. You believe that God gave the world his moral guidance, his rules, and they work. Well, if someone doesn't really think that God gave us morals, a roadmap for life, then it all comes down to what you decide as a person. So, rather than telling your grandson what you think about this ruling, what the church would say about it, you start, I think, by asking him to defend his perspective. For example, you say, how is it that you believe that someone who disagrees with you morally is a bigot? Explain that to me. Well, you'll see him stumble because he never really thought about it. They just utter cliches. That's what gets me so frustrated when I try to talk some kind of moral discourse with somebody. They just utter cliches. They don't think more than a half an inch deep. So then I would say something like, all right, well, if it's okay for a man to marry a man, culture says so, the law says so, a woman to marry a woman, what's the reason for that? They love each other. That's the most important thing, that they love each other.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What if the guy loves three guys?
You should just have it be one.
Well, wait a minute now. Why is that? If love is it, why just one? Maybe he loves three more than he loves one, three times as much as one.
Well, that...
See, what'll happen is, you just ask him to basically explain, take out to its logical conclusion, his perspective. Are you saying that I'm hateful? Because I think that, for example, a boy or a girl should not sleep around with 27 different people before they get married. Do you think that's okay? Well, why isn't it? If I think it's not okay, am I hateful towards that person? See, get him to think about it a little bit. Because he's just reiterating his young people's view of things. And that's what you got to do. Make him think. You'll watch him get very upset and frustrated. Because he won't be able to logically make his case very well.
He did say to me, what if I told you I was gay? And I says, well, I'd still love you.
There you go. That's a very simple answer. I would still love you, but I'm not necessarily going to approve of something that I think could hurt you or could cause you problems. And I'm allowed to think that.
What if I told you I liked cocaine?
Well, I think I should just buy you cocaine.
What if I told you that I want to go out and be a male prostitute?
Well, whatever makes you happy. Yeah, wait. You're running up against that standard stereotypical cliche thinking. You are the voice of another perspective he doesn't hear, Grandma. So
no.
take your time. Get him to explain and understand. Don't necessarily say, well, this is what God says. Not initially, anyway. Make him think about what he's proposing and believing. Thank you, girl. Thank you for the strength with your son. Okay. Diana from California has something very unusual. This is something I've never come across. It's hard to believe, but it's obviously Diana's problem. She's the problem here, Diana. Diana wants to know, how do you deal with a hostile family member? Diana?
Yes.
I can't believe
this.
I can't believe you have a hostile family member. That's hard to believe.
Well, actually, I talked to you about this like 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I called.
And you haven't fixed that person yet? You haven't fixed that person yet?
No, I haven't fixed them yet, no.
I forget, which hostile family member was it?
My sister-in-law.
How come it's all your in-laws?
I did see her since then. I did see her, and I just was very polite. I just said hello, and when I left, I said goodbye and thank you. And so I did not interact with her very much at all.
Well, good, because she'd probably be hostile.
Well, that's kind of what I figured.
Refresh my memory. What was she mad about? Was it an ongoing thing or something you did supposedly wrong?
Yeah, something I did supposedly wrong way back when she got married, actually right before she got married. And I told her, well, that didn't actually even happen. And she said, so things were better for a little while. But then, I don't know, I must have said or done something to offend her again, and it started all over again. So, and my family, my sister, my parents, they'll tell me that, you know, gosh. And just grow up. That they just ignore the things she says that are kind of rude or stupid or whatever they classify it as. And so I said, but yeah, the difference is that she's not hostile to you. She's nice to you most of the time. And so I just, like I said, I'll say things and I don't even realize I'm offending her. And so that's kind of my problem is, what do I do in that circumstance when I offend her unknowingly and she comes at me.
By definition, if you don't know you're saying something or doing something to offend her, you can't not do it. By definition.
Right.
So you have to be aware that at any moment you could upset her simply by being you.
Right.
You also have to be aware that probably this means that your relationship is just going to be one of superficial pleasantness. You'll be nice. You won't insult her. You won't attack. You won't even try to defend yourself. If she throws something in your face that you did supposedly wrong, you'll say, well, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. That was not my intent. I'm sorry. But short of that, my dear, not a whole lot you're going to do about it. I got to believe her hostility toward you is coming from another direction that you don't even know anything about. Whether it's your Catholic faith or because you got a great husband or you got nice kids. Something.
Do you wonder how best to love someone questioning their sexual identity or people like me who live with same-sex attraction? Hi, my name is Dan Mattson, and I would like to invite you to attend a conference in Detroit on pastoral approaches to same-sex issues. It will be held on August 10th through 12th and features a stellar lineup of nearly 30 speakers, including Dr. Janet Smith, Father John Ricardo, Teresa Tomeo, and many more. For more information, go to CourageRC.org. That's CourageRC.org.
Pray, play, and simply be together at the Notre Dame Summer Retreat. Holy Cross Family Ministries invites you to attend the annual weekend retreat for families at the University of Notre Dame, August 7th through 9th. Listen to inspirational talks by former Notre Dame coach Jerry Faust, Sister Terry Rickard, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. Bring your family for a weekend of prayer, fun, and togetherness. For complete details, go to familyrosary.org/events or call 800-299-7729.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
I got this theory. You notice that people, especially these radical animal rights people, are more violently opposed to fur than they are to leather. Both basically are the skin at some level of an animal. You know why that is? I got to figure it out. I think it's purely logistics. It is safer to harass rich ladies than to harass motorcycle gangs. Just a thought. You know, you kind of got to look at the logic behind it all. Bob from Detroit, Michigan, I told a story yesterday about my son Peter, who is adopted and at age 5 was asking questions about his adoption, which threw me for a loop because I was on the road without my wife. Pete was with me, and I was saved. I was saved from extensive detail by a trailer of cows who really smelled. And that smell took his curiosity. And I made it home. I ran in the house and I found my wife. And I said, honey, Pete wants to talk to you. And then I ran outside again. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Hey, yeah, you know, I heard that story, you know, and I was like, oh, well, this is like happening right now with me. And then, you know, then he mentioned the boy and the distraction. I'm like, well, yeah, I could see that, but I got an 8-year-old daughter. And sure, her attention span on things like this is a little more solid. She's got a bit of a sadness about, you know, trying to understand it. I've tried to, you know, say that, you know, she did a loving thing by providing, you know, you with an opportunity to have a loving family with your, you know, your mom and me, you know, and all that. But I thought I'd try to call and get your advice on what might be a good way to handle it, you know.
Did you have your daughter from birth?
Yes.
So she's really not aware at all who birth mom is.
No, yeah, she doesn't. She just, you know, but she's black, white, you know, so she obviously sees the skin tone difference. I think probably some kids at school sometimes have said, like, you know, is that your dad? Or, you know, does he look like, you know, come, he doesn't look like you kind of thing. You know, I mean, most kids are really good about it, but, you know, once in a while you get
he doesn't
like
spend
that.
As much time in the sun as I do.
My
dad stays in the house with his remote. I go outside and play. I used to look like my dad, but summertime I don't. I said that yesterday. I said, you know, Pete's black and we're white. And I said he was asking about the birds and the bees, and he doesn't know much about the birds and the bees, but he did know his colors. Is she curiously just throwing up a question here and there, or is it something she tries to dwell on and keeps pushing on you?
Well, you know, it started, it started maybe a little bit when she was younger. She was just kind of saying, how come we look different, you know, and that sort of thing. And it's gotten to be a little bit more where just, you know, she wants to know a little bit of, you know, she's trying to figure out, you know, a bit of who she is, you know, in that sense. You know, I mean, you know, she knows we love her dearly and we, you know, provide her with, you know, and she knows that. And I think it's just trying to kind of a curiosity or trying to understand herself a little bit and why she and all her cousins and everybody else don't, you know, isn't like her, you know what I mean?
I wouldn't keep revisiting it. I think you can over-talk something like this.
Yeah.
I would, if she asks a question, I say, well, you know, sweetheart, the only difference is the color of our skin. If you're worried about not looking like me, you really don't look like me because you're a girl and I'm a guy. So that's really a lot different. And that's why I told my one daughter, I have three black adopted children, and my one daughter, I say, hey, Mary, you're worried about not looking like me. You look like a woman, and I look like a guy. That's a lot different than a little bit darker pigment. You know, so I kind of joked it that way. I would briefly emphasize, again, sweetheart, God gave you to us.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted you to have a mom and a dad. The color of your skin means nothing. That's heresy to certain adoptive workers. Oh, no, the color of her skin means there's some kind of culture there that we have to keep alive.
Mm-hmm.
What culture? We don't even know exactly what that is, where she came from. She is your little girl.
Yeah.
That you love incredibly. And that's all cool. She needs to know is that mommy and daddy love her desperately. As she gets older and she asks a few questions, you can give her a few more pieces of information. But I wouldn't let this become, and this is the danger here, Bob,
mm-hmm.
is that whenever she gets frustrated or upset about something,
sure,
this could become the topic du jour. In other words, well, I'm not like you, or I want to know who my real mom is. Or,
yeah, she pulled that one time. She did pull that one time when she was upset with us for disciplining her, you know. And I was kind of like, yeah.
You know what your wife ought to do? She ought to walk over and she ought to say, see my arm here? Go ahead, feel my arm. That's real.
Hmm.
See, I'm your real mom right here. I'm your real mom.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, you'll get that. That's not unusual for some adoptive kids to say, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to go find somebody who really loves me, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of my 10 adopted children, we've had one or two show some curiosity. And that's about the percentage, by the way.
Okay.
It's about the percentage. If you look at the surveys of adopted children who seek out birth parents when they're old enough,
it's 5 to 10%.
And of the two that showed that curiosity, they didn't follow through.
They're both old enough to follow through, but they didn't. It was more of a, it was more of, for them, it was a passing kind of, well, let's see, I just kind of want to know a little bit more about my beginnings. Oh, all right, sure, I'll tell you what I know. Don't know a whole lot in most cases. And one of the things you don't do is you don't give her the ugly nitty-gritty. You don't say, well, your dad was in prison because he shot two guys, and your mom, well, she was having some trouble being on the streets with drugs. And no, you don't. They just say, you know what, honey, your birth mom couldn't handle raising a child. She didn't have a family, kind of thing.
All right. Thanks very much, Dr. Ray. I appreciate
All right,
it.
Buddy. I'll talk to you. Bye. Follow the kid's lead. That's always a good guideline. The kids will raise the questions. You don't have to say, well, he's 7 years old. I will go and see next Tuesday at 2:10 p.m. We will begin our discussion until 2:20. Well, I've looked in the adoption handbook here, and it says when they're 7 years old, you give them 20 minutes. When they're 9, you give them 28 minutes. Nah. This is something that was funny. One time my wife and I were in a line at an amusement park. And the lady there saw all the kids, different races. And she said, wow, are they all adopted? My wife said, yes. I wonder what their real mom is thinking right now. And my wife, who is so much quicker than I am and so much cooler, said, well, their real mom is thinking we'd like to buy some tickets for this ride. Ha! That's why I don't mess with my wife. To take me down fast. I'm grateful she doesn't call the show. Woohoo! She could twist me into knots. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825.
If you are in the market for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle and want to be treated with dignity and respect, then come on in and enjoy your experience. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our summer clearance event, our Chrysler 200s and Jeep Cherokees are marked down to $149 per month. The Ram 1500 Crew Cab is only $189 per month. Now is the best time to get a great deal with over 500 vehicles to choose from, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
This show is sponsored in part by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a nonprofit diocesan ministry serving in many dioceses. As an extension of your parish community, we specialize in guiding you through the entire end-of-life process, making decisions easy and faith-driven for you now and for your loved ones later. 800-498-4989. That's 800-498-4989.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Dr. Ray Guarendi being loved for my mind.
Nothing's changed since college.
Cutest girls in college always called me to help them with their homework. So the girls call me on this program to have me help them in a situation in life. Sort of a homework. Home stuff, domestic stuff. Dr. Ray Guarendi, the program here, The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, produced in concert with EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network out of Ave Maria Radio Studios in Ann Arbor. Andrew Krucek, my producer man, official phone picker-upper, call screamer, up there in Ann Arbor. I'm down here in Canton, Ohio, Living Bread Studios, one of our affiliates, the 300 affiliates, as well as Sirius XM Channel 130. My Living Right with Dr. Ray TV show airs on Saturday nights, 10 p.m. The EWTN Global Catholic Television Network. My website's drray.com. Getting some adoption questions here. I can say I do have a book called Adoption, Choosing It, Living It, Loving It. And it not only deals with Bob's question about when and how and at what length do you discuss biological origins, but it also deals with our caller's question here from Seattle. She's asking, and I directly talk about this in the book, is there such a thing as too much openness in an open adoption? Are you there, caller?
I am.
You know.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but as Andrew Krucek pointed out to me, I think it's ironic that you're calling about openness and you're anonymous. You know? I just noticed a little incongruity there.
It really is. It's funny you should say. We've actually spoken before, but...
And you were anonymous. You were anonymous then. Look, we're not going to continue this relationship like this. This is what my wife did to me.
Oh, I know.
When we were dating, she thought I was dragging my feet toward marriage. So 2 years into the relationship, she gives me an ultimatum. She says, look, you either tell me your name or it's over. Push, push, push.
Good for her. She
Jeez.
Had to at some point. Yeah.
All right. Now.
Well, and I have your book, Dr. Ray, so I'm going to have to go back.
Yeah, you are.
Go back and read it. Yeah.
Well, you're going Apparently. Against, you know what you're doing? You're going against the prevailing winds, which are, among adoption workers and professionals, the more open, the better.
Yeah. That's
but
exactly right.
You know as well as I do, it is fraught with problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, because oftentimes the birth moms have struggled in life.
Mm-hmm.
They've given birth to 1, 2, 3, 4 more children.
Mm-hmm.
One of my birth moms gave birth to 9. All
mm-hmm.
by different dads.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So as a consequence, you're opening up complications. Now you got birth grandma who wants to be part of the picture.
Right. Yep. Oh, sure.
How old
she's
is
all of that.
How old is your child here?
She's 18 months.
Okay. What would the bio folks like?
Well, and that's part of the issue is that, you know, we went to an agency and signed a contract. So, you know, we've got this open and one of the social workers that did our home study and has been working with us and who's local, and we become friends with her, she said, you know, when she first saw the contract, she said, wow, this is one of the more open contracts I've ever seen, which is basically 2 visits a year and 2, and as in addition to 2 times sending pictures and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's been more than that. In the 18 months, it's been much more than that.
Well, wait, but it can only be much more than that if you allow it.
Right, right. And that's kind of, it's just, I think it's, and it's turned into, I'm the one between my husband and I who's kind of leads the, I won't say leads it, but is more in charge of the contact with the birth mother, just because I think she feels more comfortable contacting me. And then I have a hard time. I wrestle with, I guess, you know, putting my foot down or saying, look, this is what we agreed to. So whenever I really had to have that kind of conversation, I make my husband call, say, can you please call and talk to her, you know, and have that kind of conversation. Because it has led to her desire to have all of the siblings, you know their baby sister and that kind of relationship. And the agency, yeah, you do just get the feeling that it's exponentially better for the child the more they have contact with
both birth mother and birth father, if possible.
And from a clinical perspective, as a psychologist who deals with a lot of this stuff, much of that is wishful thinking. The idea is, well, isn't this wonderful? The child has all these people who love her or him. Isn't this great? Without a recognition, or if it's there, it's pushed down, that the fact that the biological parent may not be living a very stable life.
Right.
That's part of the reason why the child was either removed from the home or the biological parent, in a loving act, said, I can't do this. So as a consequence, there are complications. And I'm wondering when and if more of the adoption professionals are going to start realizing this. Now, going to your contract. I'm not a lawyer. However, I've talked to some attorneys about this. And the information I was given is that those contracts are questionable. Because once that child is yours, once that child is legally your daughter, you decide what is in that child's best interest.
Right, right.
And if you say, this is causing trouble, this is causing confusion. Now, at 18 months, it's not going to, but at age 3, 4, 5, it might.
Right, right,
and you
right.
say, there's too many intricacies being involved here now. This is what I will agree to. This is what I will do. Maybe these visits are supervised in a park. So you take your little daughter to the park and you meet with birth mom. You're not going to have birth mom over to the house necessarily.
Right, right, right.
Okay? You send the pictures. Now, tragically, my experience has been that in many cases, the birth parents fade out. Ultimately,
and that's what we've been told.
Yeah, they move away or they have another child towards whom they direct their attention. So you call the shots here, Ma. And you can, if you say, well, look, I committed to this agreement, so I'm going to follow it up. Okay. But how you follow it up is up to you. You don't have to say, well, come on over to our house and stay overnight, and we'll get together all day tomorrow, and we'll go to Cedar Point.
Right.
No, you can say, I'll tell you what, we'll meet you for breakfast for an hour. Our little daughter will be in her car seat or wherever she'll see, the booster seat there and the high chair, and that's it.
Yeah.
And please don't,
and
please don't bring
and
your mom and everybody else.
Right, right. And that, and that, and it really has been, we've been able to kind of maintain that kind of, you know, the last two visits, it was very controlled and for an hour, and, but it's just, I guess I'm just, you know, as we look forward, and 18 months, not, you know, obviously she's still young enough, but I guess I'm just, we're thinking about adopting number two and going, and my husband and I were really having these questions of, do we want to go through the same agency and have the exact same contract? And, you know, because we can already kind of envision the
they vary wildly. They vary wildly in what the agreements are. Of my 10 children, my 10 adopted children, we only had one that was remotely open, and it was pictures.
Well, out of the 10, only
out
one that
10.
Was, oh, wow.
Right. Right.
And see, I thought that they were doing just maybe it's on the West Coast or Seattle, but every agency we went
it
to,
kind of
really
depends. It really kind of depends. And remember, the adoptive parents are also part of this agreement. And they can say, visitations right now wouldn't be good. It would be confusing for our little daughter. If there's another visitation of another parent, our little daughter will start asking questions like, where's my visitation? So you can say, we're very open to pictures. We're very open to voice contact between us and birth mom to let her know how things are going. We're open to that, but other than that, we're not. And then a lot of agencies will work with you. There's an awful lot of situations where the kids are removed from the birth parents where the openness is not even a factor.
Right.
Okay? So keep that in mind. And don't what if it, Mom. Don't what if it. Don't say, oh, no, what's going to happen when she's four?
Right.
Things are going to change all over the place by then. Over the place. I told my mom, I threatened my mom when I was growing up, and she disciplined me, and I got upset. I say, fine, I'm going to go find my adoptive parents. Right. Thank you for the call, sweetheart. You call again.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye. Well, that stinks. I lost the sale. She already had the adoption book. And I just shamelessly promoted myself, plugging my stuff. She already had it. Dr. Ray, I'll be right back.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
The Servants of Jesus of the Divine Mercy have moved to the new Divine Mercy Center in Clinton Township. They are always in need of volunteers. If you are interested in helping even just one day per month, visit sjdivinemercy.org. Help is needed for greeting, the gift store, cleaning, cutting grass, craft making, event planning, and much more. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OfficeExpressNow.com.
Do you want a family physician who respects the inherent dignity of every human person of any age? Do you want your physician to respect parents as the primary educators of their children and not the secular culture? Sacred Heart Medical Center is a medical practice that is Christ-centered, family-oriented, and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. With locations in Livonia and Brighton, learn more today by calling 734-338-0600. That's 734-338-0600 or at sacredheartmedical.org.
Pray, play, and simply be together at the Notre Dame Summer Retreat. Holy Cross Family Ministries invites you to attend the annual weekend retreat for families at the University of Notre Dame, August 7th through 9th. Listen to inspirational talks by former Notre Dame coach Jerry Faust, Sister Terry Rickard, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Bring your family for a weekend of prayer, fun, and togetherness. For complete details, go to familyrosary.org/events or call 800-299-7729.
Hi, Tika Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
You're on the line. You call back in the future. You're first up. You'll never wait more than one show on this program. Jim from Redmond, Washington. His son is going off to college. Not unusually, his girlfriend is going to go to the same school. Is that a coincidence or what? Jim says, how can I help my son stay focused on school and not her? Hey, Jim.
Good morning, Dr. Ray.
What a question.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. We've tried talking numerous times with him, both my wife and I, and I just see that my fear is that the focus will be on making sure she's happy in their relationship rather than focusing on school.
You're basing this on what you've seen so far.
Absolutely right.
Hmm. They gone away to school?
Yes, sir.
Jim, I got a question here.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Why are they going away to school?
Yeah.
The school that he chose is the best fit for him and what he wants to do.
Is it technical what he wants to do?
No, not technical. But what he wants to study, this is a good fit. It's a good fit financially as well. He has earned some merit scholarships, and so it's worked out quite well. It's far enough away to where it feels far. It feels away, but it's close.
Well, if you're convinced that this quote-unquote good fit is a legitimate enough reason for him to live on campus with his girlfriend hanging around, then you go to Plan B.
Okay.
Who's financially supporting him?
That we are.
That would be you, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, I think you might want to tell him, I can't in any way influence how you divide up your time, son.
But I will tell you this. I want to see those greats. And if they're not where they should be, well, you're on your own the second semester.
Right. Okay.
That's the only influence you have. I mean, you can't,
right.
Him into, you've already seen you can't reason him into this.
Right.
Okay. So
right.
I think he needs to know that the only indicator you have of his priorities is how he's doing in school. Now, this does not mean that he can't do all kinds of immoral things with his girlfriend, which you know as well as I do, probably will. So, given that, if you think that's a real concern too, for me, I don't care what kind of fit the school is. He can get other education closer to home.
Right.
I'm becoming much more convinced that this whole gone away to college experience in only a minority of cases is warranted. The rest of the time, it leads to loans. It leads to kids losing their faith. It leads to parents being totally unable to supervise, and the colleges no longer supervise. So it's a free-for-all.
Right.
And I think parents got to think long and hard about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, we did do that, and this is actually, it follows the criteria for a good fit for him. And then she happened to, her only interest in college is that college. I mean, go figure, but it worked perfect for him, and we had hoped that
Jim's
she would
kids,
find...
Jim's Kids University, that's where she's headed. Thanks, Jim. I got to run. This is Dr. Ray. Appreciate the company. Walk with God. You got kids, hold them tightly by the hand. I don't even, if they go to college, I don't know how you're going to do that, but, you know, they've got long arms.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes